Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Greg Dickerson is in the house. And he will be until the top of the hour. Then we're going to push him out the door and let him go home and rest his pipes.
Yeah, I think it's probably.
You know what? This is very Sean Couturier-like.
Yes.
Gutting it out here.
Tukarask never would have showed up for this.
I would say bad voice, torn MCL.
Same thing.
Pretty much right on the same level.
Very similar. Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
You got Greg as day-to-day, or is he more week-to-week, you think?
Oh, day-to-day.
Day-to-day.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, day-to-day.
We are all day-to-day.
Year-to-year.
How many teas have you had today?
Here, yes. Or all together?
Oh, no, all together. Give me the all together team total.
See, 2, 3.
Yeah.
He's had 10
six.
Since he got
here.
6?
I've had 6.
And they do nothing. They've done nothing.
No.
He's
you
gonna,
know what? They've made it worse.
You sound worse.
They've made it worse.
He's going to stop every 2 minutes on the way home to pee.
There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah.
I'll tell you a
Gatorade bottle ready. That's all you need.
I'll tell you a secret. Nice. I went into Awaken 180 today.
Yes.
And I spent some time with Paige.
Paige.
She said, can I get you anything? And I said, oh, my God, yes, please.
Yes.
Can I get a cup of tea? She said, absolutely. And then I said one of the dumbest things I've ever said.
Oh, boy. You were like, I want all the sugar in there. Give me all the sugar.
I said, do you have some honey? Can I have some honey in it?
Oh.
And she looked at me and said, we don't have any honey.
By the way, Greg, that won't be on your list.
Yeah, honey.
Andy and I can already give you a pretty good idea about the list.
Right.
She said, yeah, if you want honey in your tea, we're not the place.
Go somewhere else.
Right.
I see Greg so little that he may not recognize the weight loss because I've been up and down for years when he's seen me. So I'll have to come in and show him the before picture during the break.
Trust me.
It's alarming.
You look the best I've ever seen you.
Yes.
135 pounds will do that.
And I've known you for almost 20 years, and you've always looked good, Andy.
That's very nice. You don't need to lie to him, but it's very nice.
I'm not going to make you stay past 5 years with
that. Yeah, you're all set.
So do the Patriots make a deal before they pick on Thursday? They've got 2 first-round picks now. We found out in the last day or so that they had Lamar Jackson in for one of those top 30 visits. Very quietly, they said 2 weeks ago. All of their visits are quiet.
Yeah, they're very
quiet. Do you know about any of them?
Well, we know about them now. We know about some of these ones now. No, I think this is... A Rob Gronkowski trade would have to be so complicated, I feel like. There's not like a simple, this isn't a text somebody for a second round pick type of thing like he did with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think this would be much more layered. I would think it would happen after the draft. I don't think it's going to happen this week.
Yeah, but don't you want to know whether you need a top-notch tight end, whether you need a replacement for Rob Gronkowski now?
Yeah, but I think they're going to they would want a good second tight end anyway. Like I think a tight end would be on their list no matter what. Like, I don't think Dwayne Allen's it. I don't think Jacob Hollister is it.
Yeah, but what I think second tight end, I think a guy who, you know, fills in for Gronk, a guy who's not.
But on this team though, I think they wanted their second tight end to be like Aaron Hernandez, who is not a second tight end on most teams.
Yeah,
and they've had a hard time replacing that guy.
But if they're going to get rid of Gronk, you need that alpha dog.
Oh,
tight
yeah.
End.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you got to do that at the draft.
But they might want a second alpha dog is my point anyway. Like they've always wanted 2 tight ends going back to Benjamin Watson and Daniel Graham and Garrett Mills and David Thomas. Like, they've missed on a bunch.
How's that worked out?
Oh, not great, Greg. Thanks. No, but they've tried.
They hit it once.
They did.
Kinda.
They did. Well, it did. It burned real hot and then it was gone. But then they also would, like, Scott Chandler. Like, that was the attempt. Martellus Bennett, maybe the
Martellus
closest
Martellus Bennett
thing.
Was the one.
That was probably the closest one.
Hit, yes.
Right. And then, you know, Dwayne Allen did not work. So I think whether Gronk is here or not, if they feel like there's a really good tight end available, I think they would pull the trigger on him.
Do you think what Gronk did over the weekend changes their plans at all?
I mean, they may have had their minds made up, but that might have sealed it.
If their draft board has got, you know, tight end X, and, you know, we think that, you know, if he's there in the second, you know, we might take this guy. Do they now look at it and say, you know what, maybe that pick at 31, we should take him there if we want to make sure we get him?
I don't. I think that they knew... already, whether it was 5 days ago or 10 days ago, they knew what they wanted to do. It didn't take Rob Gronkowski acting like a jackass at Gillette Stadium to force their hand.
No, they already had a pretty good idea of what they wanted to do, right? Yeah, I would think so, too. And so this... do you think this caught him off guard? Like, do you think they saw this and they're like, what is he doing? Or are they like...
How could it not?
Yeah, because this was... Even if you read all of the tweets that he had and all the Instagram posts, and we did, and all the different comments he had, like to Danny Amendola when he was gone, all those things, if you just followed all those together, you probably still couldn't have predicted what he did over the weekend.
You know what this was? My mom used to do this. She used to go, read between the lines.
Yeah, you're holding up three
fingers.
I'm
holding up three fingers. I got it. She'd say, read between the lines.
Yes.
That's what the tweets and all that were.
Right.
And then what this he just did straight Saturday up was right here. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin, Double Freedom Rockets. Yeah, that's what that was.
It pretty much was. And then he had this little sidekick there, hyping him up. I don't know who that guy was.
The guy who was told to shut up. Nobody wants to hear from you. Yeah, no one's asking you questions.
Yeah, correct. Another great driver.
I think in that world, he's a very big guy.
Big time rider.
I don't know that, but I don't know any of them, but he's considered a big guy.
Yes. Consider yourself an all-around sports guy, Dale?
I guess not.
I don't know Arena Football League.
I don't know motocross either.
Well, that's on you.
So we think they're going to take two picks in the first round Thursday?
I do. Mainly because they don't have a first-round pick on the roster. You got to go back 3 years to have a first-rounder like that they've used. You know, the last 2 years, they didn't have one, so... I think it makes sense to use both. I also admit that trying to predict what the Patriots do is silly. Like they might trade up, they could trade down, they could draft a receiver for all we know. Like just when you expect them to not do something is when they do it. But if it was up to me, I think I would definitely just take two guys in the first round and sort of restock your young talent.
This roster is so devoid of talent on both sides of the football. I don't know.
Wait! They were just in the Super Bowl.
Young talent. Devoid of young talent, Dale.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Do you like the defensive line, Dale? No. Look, there are positions where I agree. Yeah.
Do you like the wide receiver crew?
Wait a minute. Devoid of talent? Greg, I mean, I know you don't feel very well right now. Young talent.
Devoid of young talent. They are.
Somebody get Greg a tea. He needs another tea. Young talent. You know what? So what do they have for young talent? And what's young in your mind? 25 and under?
Young is 26 and younger.
41
yes.
and under, you would say, is young talent. Yeah, because Brandon Cooks, even though they traded for him, was young talent.
Do you like your wide receiver position now? I don't.
Jordan Matthews, Cordell Patterson, Julian Edelman.
Whoa. Okay.
Chris Hogan.
Do you like Cordell Patterson? Not me.
No.
Okay.
No. Good return, man.
Yes.
Good return, man. Jordan Matthews
may not matter next
year. Jordan Matthews, I think, could be good. Yes. Edelman, hopefully will be back from injury and be really good.
But again, you said hopefully. 31-year-old coming off.
He's not young talent anyway. Okay. He's veteran talent. Malcolm Mitchell, I guess, would be your young talent at receiver.
And I loved him a year ago at this time. Right now, after he didn't play.
Well, and there were reports, too, that the Patriots didn't even like him. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but they said he could have been back. He was healthy to return last year. He could have been one of those guys, off the PUP list or whatever, or the IR. And they didn't do it, so I don't know if they love him necessarily. But that's your receiving core. So I'm with you. No young talent there. Running backs, James White still.
I'm fine with running back.
It doesn't really matter anyway.
Defensive line, Dietrich Wise,
Malcolm Brown,
absolutely Trey
Flowers.
Number one.
I like him.
You're gonna get Derek Rivers back this year.
I don't hate the young player. I think the D line's pretty good. You're making a face. You're making a weird.
I don't love it. I don't think it's stocked for that much talent.
Who's your pass rusher?
Who's your young pass rusher?
Probably Trey Flowers. I think Trey Flowers. No, you're giving me a. Now you're making
again,
a noise.
Again, right. I don't.
Well, he can't do much more than make a noise right now.
I don't know what that noise would normally sound like.
What he's got here.
I mean, they invested a first round pick in Malcolm Brown, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you where he ranks amongst interior defensive linemen.
Is their defensive line a strength of the team?
No. I thought the secondary.
Yes.
Was the strength.
Yes.
Especially once they all got going.
Right.
And I guess young talent there, not as much. But not like over the hill guys either. Like you have guys in their prime, like Gilmore and McCourty.
McCourty's not exactly a kid, but he's not exactly over the hill.
Right. He's right there in the middle. But that's why I think you're probably more right than Dale would let on. Like, because he started, you gasped.
Like
you gasped.
Like
you gasped at him when he said they're devoid of young talent. But I think if you put young talent on there and you're saying guys that, let's say, are still on their rookie deals, well, that makes a lot of sense because they didn't have first-round picks the last 2 years. One of their highest draft picks was Cyrus Jones. He hasn't shown you anything except he stinks. And so you don't have a lot of really talented young guys just from the draft. So, yeah, I get it.
We have breaking news out of New York.
Is this real breaking news, Dale? Because Dale goes very fast and loose.
No, we're not going to play the breaking news.
Then it's not breaking news.
Is this breaking news that we've already talked about off the air?
Off the air, yes. So Andrew Marchand, writing in today's New York Post. Here's the headline.
Yes.
Desperate Mike Francesa
I'm sorry?
Wants back on radio with WFAN possible. One of the best segments we have available to us. Could be back.
How is he desperate? He just retired.
Wait a minute. Mike Francesa is desperate?
Yes.
The biggest ego in the history of broadcasting?
People want
you. Just knew it.
Here's the opening paragraph, okay?
I'd like to hear him again.
Mike Francesa desperately misses doing New York sports radio and is trying to get back on the air.
Now, Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment and tool rentals with 9 convenient tri-state area locations, including Queens, Brooklyn, and the Bronx, you're sure to find a Durante Rentals location near you and let them deliver the equipment right to your job site. They're trusted and on-time delivery. Make it easy to get the construction equipment you need to your job site when you need it, where you need it. Mike. Why trust anybody else? What? The Durante... Durante, it depends how you want to pronounce it. I know people whose name is Durante. They can pronounce it Jimmy Durante.
No,
they're saying it's Durante, not Durante. Okay,
I get the idea.
This could be either way.
It cannot be Durante. Either way.
All right, so it's Jimmy Durante. So
the
it's Durante,
people paying you to read their sponsor.
Okay. Won't let you down. Call 1-800-Durante.
Does that mean we get to call him Mike Francesca?
You could, Francesca.
I mean, I've heard people who call themselves that.
I have heard either way. That is, wow.
According to Andrew Marchand, Francesa or his representatives have already had talks with ESPN Radio in New York, with WOR, 710 AM. Mm-hmm.
What's WOR? Is that a sports
news station? News. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's Clay, come on, Clay, what's up?
Your horse finished 8 out of 11.
All right, whatever.
Middle of the pack.
All right.
So he's gonna do news talk now?
Well, evidently he really misses it.
Do you think for just one day he would be the third man on our show?
We've already reached out to him.
What do you mean we've reached out to him on Twitter?
Twitter? Listen, I'm efforting. There's a lot of efforting going
Rossi's
on.
Rossi's efforting. Okay, good.
We have a chair open for him.
Yeah, that'd be great. We wouldn't have to do
at
much.
5 o'clock. Mike, if you're around 5 o'clock, the chair's open.
5 o'clock today. Get him in today. We don't need to wait around. Get him in here today.
In fact, he would probably push the OMF guys out an hour early because he likes to go on at 1.
Start at 1, and then he could do Everkeef. Things are really looking up. I would love to have Francesa in
Matt in Queens. What's up, Matt?
Mike, great show. I love listening to you. I just wanted to say that nobody's talking about the Yankees. Do you think that they're going to make it to the World Series in October? And are there a series?
Is that when the World Series is? Is it in October? Thank you for that. I didn't know that. Frank and West Hempstead. What's up,
Frank? That's just mean. That's just mean. Come on.
I've heard of Al Albuquerque.
He doesn't go by Alberto Albuquerque. I knew Alberto Albuquerque.
So they did the whole retirement tour for him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he and Dog did that whole thing on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And in the theater there, they've done a whole retirement tour.
They had a 30 for 30 on the guy.
I saw it. It was good.
It was.
And now apparently he's going, I'd like to come back.
He's got the itch.
Listen, once you leave a radio gig, you can't come.
Never mind.
That was a bad thought on my part.
I've seen people come back.
No, you could do that. You could come back.
What about you? Your own
excuse me. All right.
Now we're making fun of Greg.
Yeah, no, I apologize.
David Westchester.
That was hour number one.
Like, how you doing? 2 and 3.
Good, thanks.
Well, he was also trying to eat lunch.
He did not sound well. That's his problem. That's his biggest problem. But if we told him, hey, you can start at 2 o'clock so you can eat your lunch between 1 and 2, then do the show here from 2 to 6, I think Francesa would be in. Now, I know he wants to talk New York sports, but that's all right. They pop up every once in a while. That's fine.
There's a lot of national stuff, though.
It's got to be like a midweek Yankee series we can bring him in for or something.
Yes. Yeah, but absolutely. Get him to talk to some Yankees. He'd probably bring A-Rod in. He's best buds with A-Rod. Bring him in here.
fly him up.
Well, sure. I was going to say, didn't the morning guys fly up, what's her name?
Britt McHenry.
Britt McHenry. Why can't you guys do the same?
We should definitely put in a formal request
for Francesca.
We should. Sports Pope in here. It'd be great.
Francesca, Francesca.
I've heard
Francesca.
Both.
I mean, you say it your way, I'll say it my way. 617-779. It's just a thought. I mean, he's available.
I'm in.
He's evidently looking.
Good.
We've got a spot for him. If he wants to sit, we've got a spot.
Excuse me. All right. I apologize. David Westchester. Go ahead, Dave.
Like, how you doing today?
Good, thanks.
I saw The Avengers last week. All it is two collisions in the air between superheroes for 2 hours. That movie wasn't bad. It was putrid. Avengers, something with the Ultron. I don't know what it is. Something with the Ultron. All right. Ultron, is that what it is?
It's like Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. Robert Downey Jr., who has made only about $1 billion as, what's his name?
Iron Man.
You have four. You have the guy with the Captain America. You have the green guy.
The Incredible Hulk,
the green guy. And Scarlett Johansson is...
I think it's Black Widow is her character.
All right. So she has a tight...
Matter?
No, I mean, listen, she's, you know, Scarlett in the outfit's fine.
You still in for bringing him in now?
Good breakdown. No, it's a good breakdown. He's right. Age of Ultron was not a great movie.
No, he got that one guy.
He had most of the characters. He got most of them. And it is Infinity War week, Dale. Greg, are you guys very excited?
I saw the giant hand on our desk.
That's a gauntlet is what that is.
Is that what that is?
Yes, with six Infinity Stones in it.
Looks like a giant fist thing.
It's a gauntlet. Yes, that's what they call it.
I'm sorry.
Thanos gauntlet. Greg, try to keep up. It's only going to be the biggest movie of the year, if not our lifetime.
Avengers.
It might be.
The Avengers.
You laughed at it.
Till The Rock makes the next one.
No, please. The Rock. This is going to blow Rampage right out of the theaters. They're going to knock them right out. In fact, Rampage moved their release date up because they were terrified of Avengers Infinity War. If you're worried about box office dollars, if that's what you're concerned with, then it's going to be the greatest movie of all time.
You don't. Don't you realize there's another Indiana Jones coming out in 3 years?
Oh, that's true.
Okay, that could
set the record.
The biggest
that could be the
movie
one.
Release.
And there's like four Avatar sequels.
Yeah,
on
but
the
is
way.
It going to have Shia LaBeouf in it again? Because that's a deal breaker for me.
That killed the franchise.
So much to it.
That was rough.
I'm just praying that Sean Connery is alive in 3 years so he can make this movie.
I do have some bad news.
Bad news,
yeah,
Dale?
I hate to bring it all down today. All
right.
No, I thought the Francesa stuff was good news.
Yeah, that was good news.
I have some bad news. Gronkowski, the horse, is out of the Kentucky Derby.
Hamstring?
That'd be good, wouldn't it? if Gronkowski, the horse, got hurt during an optional workout. a slight infection.
Oh, no.
So that means... I don't know. Is Gronk even going to make the trip down now?
Well, all that did was it just saved a lot of people in New England a lot of money because everybody was going to bet Gronk.
Is the horse really out?
Yes. No, that's real. No.
The horse just threatening
the owner's,
to not go to the Derby.
Yes, the owner is saying, you know, I don't know.
His mind is not made up. Yeah, there's other things I could do. I could be in Seabiscuit.
I could be in the remake. Did Gronkowski, the horse, do a press conference with Ricky Carmichael standing beside him?
Yes.
Santa Anita's got a Derby that day I could do.
Heresy War Horse? I could be in that. Like, well, it was already made.
The human Gronk buys into the equine Gronk.
Correct.
And then the equine Gronk gets hurt. Or sick.
Not good.
That's not a good...
No. You got to connect the dots there on that one.
I'm just saying.
That's not good for Gronk.
So no...
Tough offseason for Gronk.
All the way around.
Horse is out. He's acting like a jackass.
He probably knew Saturday. He was emotional.
It was on his mind.
He was sad. He was worried about his horse.
Yeah, could be the case.
How much of the horse does he own? It's probably not much.
Not much. What, 0.1110%?
Just the tail.
I don't think that's
you don't buy it like
I don't
that.
Think
you tell him I'm in charge of the ears. I'm worried about the horse's ears. That's it.
617-779-7937. Rob's in New Hampshire. Hey, Rob.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
What's going on?
Tuca. You mentioned it earlier, and Tuca played tonight, and I had to get out of the car so I know how the sentence finished. But I really think he should, and let me tell you why. Even though he said he could have stopped those punts. More pucks with his eyes closed the other night. I really think he's protecting his defense because they didn't do anything for him that night. Absolutely nothing. Especially McAvoy. Charles on the edge with three goals. When you look at the first goal by Brown, there was four defensemen, four Bruins around him. Nobody knocks him down. You know, Charlie McAvoy weighs a stick out of him as he goes around him. And a beautiful pass by Kadri. The third goal was tic-tac-toe. You know, Bruins are flailing on the ice. And same thing with Van Riemsdyk on the power play. He was left all alone in front of Tuukka because there's two defensemen behind the net. So I think you can't you know, pull four defensemen off the ice. You can't do that, obviously. It's like you can't find the, you know, 25 players. You got to find a manager. But I really think that the defense has got to get their act together. Otherwise, if Toronto plays a full 60-minute game, which they really haven't yet, they can cause a lot of trouble.
Look, I don't think anybody was suggesting that the blame was all Tuukka's, but he had opportunities to make a couple of big saves at key moments, and he failed. He said that. His coach said that. I mean, hockey players give them credit. Generally speaking, they're the most willing of all the professional athletes to say, you know what, I screwed up. They're pretty self... They look inside. They blame right. themselves. He said... I could have stopped more pucks with my eyes closed than I stopped tonight.
But you just said nobody is sitting and saying that Tuukka was the reason they lost this game.
I'm saying wasn't the only reason they lost.
But,
right.
But what I'm saying is...
He wasn't good.
He's the only guy that people are gravitating to.
Well, in
most
this town,
people yeah. out there aren't blaming the defense or any other part of this team. Everybody just automatically gravitates
it's the easy thing to do.
Tuukka.
It's the goaltender. Right. And we've said this before, but it's the baseball manager, it's the hockey goalie, and then it would normally be the quarterback.
Here.
But yeah, here you kind of, that's not going to happen. In a few years, it'll go back to the quarterback being the most criticized. But right now, it's the goalie. It's sort of the easy thing to point out. You know, if you see, especially if it's a kind of a softer goal, you see that, and that's the replay. You're not really looking necessarily on who's out of position or who wasn't doing their responsibility.
Brick says this often during the game, and he's exactly right. It's not even necessarily how many saves you make. It's when you make them. David Backe scores on the power play, makes it a 2-1 game. Building's hopping. Everybody's jumping. 50 seconds later, you give up what I thought was a bad goal to Tyler Bozak.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that it was a bad goal. It was the exact wrong time.
Yeah, right. Oh, the timing of it, too. And then the other thing with the shots, and we were talking about this before the show, about... Just because the Bruins, you know, double up the Maple Leafs in shots doesn't mean they're all created equal. Like, if you're just shooting it right at the chest of the goaltender all the time, that's not necessarily a great shot. So you can pile those up. You're like, ooh, wow, they had 45 shots. Like, all right, well, how many of them really made Anderson even move? Like, how many did he have to? Whereas in game three or four, where he's flying around, you know, saving him with his stick and he's going nuts, in the game that we saw over the weekend, they're shooting it right at him every single time.
617-779-7937. Brian's in New Hampshire. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going
on? So I just wanted to say, God bless the people in Toronto after today's events, but I think that this game is now definitely going to go to Game 7 because even if the Bruins play their butts off tonight, the fans are going to rally behind Toronto, and this place is going to be loud. And I think it's definitely going to Game 7.
Well, it's
going to
be loud no matter what, though. I mean, Brian, I understand what you're saying. And
yeah,
you're right,
yeah, sure.
But it was going to be a loud, crazy atmosphere to begin with.
Oh, they're going
to
go nuts anyway. I mean, they're facing elimination.
I said earlier that there was no indication, zero, that they weren't going to play tonight. They're going to play. What I do wonder, I wonder if they will allow the fans to gather in that outdoor plaza like they've been doing.
Oof.
I wonder if the mayor and Toronto police is worried about assembling a large group of people outside. I mean, they think this guy's a wacko, you know, a lone wacko, and they've already captured him, and he's already under arrest and all that stuff. But I almost wonder if they think a large gathering of fans outside of the Air Canada Center is a good idea in the atmosphere that you've got going up there.
Just a few hours later, I mean, that would be...
Just increase your police presence tenfold.
Yeah, maybe that's what they do.
And a lot of their police presence is probably preoccupied at this crime scene down on Yonge Street.
Right.
I mean, it's still all cordoned off. I don't know how. We don't know officially fatalities. We saw pictures. One of the news reporters tweeted out a picture of a body laying on the ground with a tarp over it. It's a pretty good idea what you're looking at.
Let me ask you this, because you may know this. You may not know it. Whose decision is this? At this time of the year, when it's a playoff game, who makes that call to play or not play?
I would say the city. The NHL would play. Now, when, of course, the marathon bombing happened here, you had both teams here. The Ottawa Senators were staying down in Copley Square. They were at the Marriott or something down at the Westin. And both teams got to the arena. But what happened was the city said, our resources are stretched so thin. You know, we've got police officers everywhere. We can't protect the people in the building. We can't allocate resources to go to the Garden. And that's when they said, we got to pull the plug, and they did.
I can't imagine they would ever allow them to play a playoff game with no fans in the arena. But, Keith, you may remember this after the shooting of the young man out in Sacramento.
Yes.
Remember the Kings played a couple?
Well, they had people outside.
Told
preventing them from going in.
Don't come in. And there was like 1,000 people inside of the
arena. A few people got in, and then the owner had to speak out about it. And that was, like they're protesting. They weren't letting people in.
I can't see something like that happening here, but.
I don't think so.
I think I don't know about the outdoor plaza. I could see them saying, we can't do that.
Yeah, they may not.
They're going to play.
Which is too bad, because that's always a great shot of the crowd when you see, you know, the Bruins score a goal, then they flash to the Toronto fans, and they're all just miserable standing out there. That's always an enjoyable part of the playoffs.
You like the people in misery.
Yeah, then there's like the one Bruins fan in there that you see, because you can see the black and gold, and he's celebrating, and everybody else is upset.
Is it just like Toronto fans you like to see miserable?
No, all.
Just everywhere?
I mean, all of them. Specifically Toronto, Montreal, New York. Yeah,
you sound like you've never been in Toronto before. They're wonderful people.
Are they nice people?
Lovely
there?
Place,
are
nice
they?
People. Yeah. Salt of the earth.
Are they?
Yeah.
It, really it actually is a great
You know what it is? Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Montreal on the other hand.
A lot of Red Sox fans. They deserve what they get.
Yes.
617-779-7937. Neil's in Brockton. Hey, Neil.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about the Celtics a little bit. I really like what's going on, and I just think that maybe we're not talking about it enough, like Brad Stevens, and the fact that we're doing all this without Gordon Hayward, without Kyrie Irving. I just think this is
you forgot Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Marcus Smart. I mean, this is an amazing story, and I just don't think Brad Stevens gets enough credit.
Oh, are you kidding,
for
Neil?
What he's doing.
Neil, I feel like Brad Stevens gets all the credit.
Oh my God, it's all anybody talks about.
Like in the national media, like they're talking about the Toronto
coach.
Yes,
they do. Neil,
you know, they're talking about the Toronto coach, and I mean, Brad Stevens is hands down coach of the year.
I mean, there's some other
good
candidates.
I would not say hands down.
Yeah.
I'd give Quinn Snyder a shot.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but
Brett Brown.
I mean, there's some guys. Philadelphia.
Yeah, D'Antoni.
Indiana. Why am I blanking out? Nate McMillan in Indiana. He's not hands down.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are some guys, but I mean, they haven't lost their superstar. They haven't lost Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, but all right, Neil, what happens if the Celtics have a 2-0 lead in the series and end up losing? Are you just going to say, well, they didn't have their players? Or are you going to say, well, something happened, there was a breakdown within the series?
No. I really believe, even last year, we went to the conference final with Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, so if they lose the series, no big deal, is what you're saying.
No. Brad Stevens is the coach of the year.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not getting anywhere. We're not going to break through that. I don't know where he's going.
If they lose this series, Rich?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Nah, yeah. I'm not.
I'm not.
Even after going up 2-0?
You've got home court. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be able to win on your home court in the NBA. That's what happens most of the time. Yeah. If they did lose, by the way, they're saying Marcus Smart could play Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say if you lost this series, it'll
could
be.
Play in game 5.
Yeah, he could. Isn't he meeting with the doctor?
He's meeting with
tomorrow
him that morning.
Tomorrow morning.
So if he meets with him then, why can't he play game 5?
I don't know. Yeah, what would stop him from doing that?
But the reason I say I wouldn't be all that upset if they lose this series, because I don't have great expectations for them.
No, neither do I.
But I also give Milwaukee a lot more credit than a lot of other people do. I think they match up talent-wise.
Well, I thought the Bucks were going to win the series, but then after watching
but
the first two games.
But then you thought they weren't going to win it.
Now I'm back to the
and
Celtics.
Then you thought they were
going to
win it,
and then you know, talk to me at halftime tomorrow night. Right. Like that's right. I'm kind of going. I'm flip flopping a little bit. I'll be honest with you, just a little bit. I've only changed my pick once.
Who are the best two players on the floor when everybody's together?
They're both in the Bucks.
Chris Middleton and Giannis.
But then the next 4 or 5 might all be on the Celtics. On top of that,
I hate to give Bledsoe any credit at all because he sucked.
But Brown and Tatum and Horford might be the
Jabari
next 3.
Jabari Parker, when he's healthy and motivated.
The first two games he was not.
No.
First two games
but
he was
the
trash.
The second two games, the real Jabari Parker.
Well, Thon Maker's the best player in the series.
I forgot
about him blocking the shots. He's very good.
Bruins, Celtics, Pats, Sox, all of them have been on the table this afternoon here on Sports Radio. (617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 379-7937. We'll take the music down a little bit, Andy, because I'll give you the real world update from Toronto. They've just held a news conference in Toronto. They've updated the situation. At least 9 are dead. 16 others are hurt. One of the eyewitnesses said he saw a baby stroller flying through the air. But according to Toronto police and the mayor, at least 9 have been killed in this terrorist attack with a van on the sidewalk on Yonge Street in Toronto. Now, they've got him in custody. They arrested him. He really did. If you saw the pictures that were tweeted out from there, he looked like he was trying to commit, you know, suicide by cop. He got out of the van, and he had his arm extended as though he had a gun, and it looked like there was a gun in his hand. Mm. The Toronto police did not shoot him dead. They took him down, captured him. I don't know what was in his hand. I don't know if there was a firearm. I don't know, but it sure looked when he had his hand out like this. But they captured him, supposedly raving, crazy.
You and I had talked about, excuse me, off the air. We remembered the New York incident that was similar to this. A white box van, it was a whatever, a rider or a rental truck. And I had forgotten it happened in Barcelona. It happened in London as well. It's just scary to think how easy this is to do.
Oh, yeah.
Just
like,
how
this isn't getting through security. This isn't an airport.
Not trying to take down
this isn't,
plane again.
Yeah, right. This is.
Happened in New York with a van or something?
It was the same thing. It was the same exact thing.
Same thing. And so as of right now, the Bruins Maple Leafs game in Toronto will be played.
They're going to play.
Red Sox are in there tomorrow. They're opening up a series with the Blue Jays. All that looks like it's going to go. But
I've seen nothing continually on the Twitter website from the Toronto Maple Leafs that says anything else, that says anything.
Yeah, I mean, it is just it's terrifying because there's nothing you can do. Like, if you need to walk down the street, that's what you have to do. And, like, this could happen. And so 9 killed, 16 injured as of right now. And that's according to the
report. Yeah, I mean, who knows how badly injured the 16 are. I mean, I hope to God they all recover.
Right.
But you just have the feeling that the mortality rate may go up. It was a reporter earlier, as I mentioned to you, a reporter from Toronto who was tweeting out, you know, he was walking in that area. And he's the one who said at the time on Twitter, I see multiple casualties here. And he tweeted out there was a picture of what was obviously a body laying on the ground with a covering over it, a tarp or a blanket or something. But at this moment, 9 people killed, 16 injured. What is apparently a terrorist attack in the city of Toronto. I think they believe this was the act of a lone lunatic, right. Mm-hmm. Which is why they're probably not, you know, talking about. Supposedly, this van went for a mile on the sidewalk.
I didn't see that.
A mile.
If the number sticks at 9, then that's a miracle.
Yeah.
Well, and presumably people were able to get out of the way, heard it coming. Eyewitnesses said the van was racing up the sidewalk, jumped the curb, raced up the sidewalk on Yonge Street, and they captured him over a mile away from the scene. Streets are all cordoned off in that area. The subway system has been shut down in that area as they continue to obviously investigate the...
But that's not that close to the Air Canada Center, though they're saying?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think where they are is...
Like, all the shots that we've seen of it does not look like it's in the... near vicinity.
No, I'm based on, you know, what I've read, it is, you know, quite some distance from the Air Canada Center.
It's terrible.
And, you know, if you're a Boston sports fan, first of all, it's awful enough that this happened. You happen to have two of your teams in Toronto right now. The Bruins obviously playing the Maple Leafs tonight in Game 6. The Red Sox are there on their off day. They flew there from Oakland yesterday. They open a series against the Blue Jays tomorrow night at Rogers Center. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, some 19 members of the Red Sox are all going to be at the Air Canada Center tonight. Or they were planning on being at the Air Canada Center tonight to cheer on the Bruins.
Yeah, and the only other question, I guess, would be if they're going to play the game, but they always have that scene outdoors where all the fans are lined up, and they do this for the Raptors games, they do this for the Maple Leafs games. You would wonder if either they just beef up security for it or they say, not tonight. I don't know. I mean, I don't know when that announcement will come, but we haven't heard anything yet.
Nothing that we know of, but that's the latest from Toronto. Unfortunately, it was worse than the initial reports. And Greg and I were talking about this during the break. This is one of those instances where I'm glad they underestimate. The initial reports were somebody had tweeted out, you know, one dead.
Right.
And you're thinking, oh, God, this is awful, but one. What you don't want to do is say, you know, we've got a dozen dead, and then come back later and say, ah, no, you know, we counted. Now we only got seven. If you're going to do anything, underestimate the casualty figures. But 16 are hospitalized. And as I said, who knows, you know, what the condition of those people. It's...
Yeah, I mean,
Greg was saying during the break, and he's right. You know, we know that there's going to be, you know, I don't know how many thousand people gathered in that outdoor plaza down by Air Canada Center tonight. What if this whack job was able to get this van up there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the streets are like around that plaza. I don't know. You know, I'm assuming they must have them all cordoned off and blocked mm-hmm. off. But what if this whack job is thinking, man, I got 15,000 people right here in front of me.
Or but even if outside of that zone, you've got
hundreds of people on their way there
right. walking down the street.
Yeah, and there's nowhere for them to go.
Right.
You know, like that's you're stuck there.
Several people have said that the where this took place is some 14 miles from the Air Canada Center.
Mm.
I don't know how far out. I do know where the Red Sox stay. I've stayed up there in Toronto with them. It's nowhere near that distance. Yonge Street is pretty famous in Toronto. It's, you know, the hip happening street in Toronto, but it's a long street. You know, it goes miles and miles and miles, and the hot part of Yonge Street is much closer to the city center than this apparently was. 617-779-7937. Mark's in Norton. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dale. How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much. I just had a little insight to what you're talking about today. I was out in Vegas for my daughter's 21st birthday. Going by, I was kicking a ton of dust up, and they put a ton of bollards in, like 3-foot-high concrete, things to block traffic from getting on the sidewalk. And I think that's more what we're going to see happening in some of these major metropolitan areas, just to be preventative, you know?
Well, Mark, I think we've already seen it.
Yeah.
I think we've already seen it in a lot of places, sure. And you're right, we'll start seeing it more. More and more, mm-hmm. there will be, those silver, they've got them down by the garden, but those silver, I'm trying to think of what they...
The barricades?
The silver barricades that are bolted into the ground. You're going to see more and more of that everywhere, not just around 18,000-seat sports arenas.
I know that in the aftermath of some of the terrorist attacks in this country, and especially after 9/11, there were always concerns about big venues being targeted, concert venues, sporting events. And we all know the security that's been changed. It used to be at the Garden that, you know, there were no metal detectors or anything like that.
You got a ticket,
well, that all changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and now everybody goes through a metal detector. Everybody has, you know, certain security things that you go to Gillette Stadium. You have to have a clear bag to put your stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, we've had to kind of resign ourselves to if they're going to keep us safe, this is what we have to do now.
Oh, yeah. Like, just, you know, think about going to the airport now compared to 20 years ago. It's absolutely different. But these are the kind of things, that's the next step, like the caller said. Like, what do you set up? Like, that's a place where hard to be secure there. Like, if somebody does feel like they're going to, hey, I'm going to drive up on the sidewalk and take out pedestrians.
But what do you do now? Do we get to a point where Boylston Street, Comm Ave, Newberry Street,
yeah.
You've got barriers up all the way down those busy streets just to try and avoid something like this? Is that where we're going? Probably is.
Yeah.
It's just, I hate to say it's the world we live in, but it is.
No, it is. You guys usually make fun of me for never wanting to leave the house. I'm telling you.
I'm kind
of
with you now.
Right? Keith, I mean, it's just, that shouldn't be how you live your life. You shouldn't, you know, give in to that kind of thing. And you know, we talked about it a lot after 9/11, talked about it a lot after the Boston Marathon. Like, you need to still live your life and don't live in fear. But, man, just all these things that happen, like walking on a sidewalk or, you know, going into a, you know, athletic game, like, you have to be fearful of somebody. I mean, movie theaters, you name it, on down the line, elementary schools, like, you see it all the time. And I know it's just as easy that somebody could run into my house, you know, with a gun. Like, that happens too. Like, there's no real safe place to be. But I mean, the percentages are better when you hunker into your basement, and you can make fun of me all you want, but you feel safer there.
And that's exactly what they're trying to do too.
I mean, some of these terrorists
are trying to get you
right
to have to live your life differently than what you're used to,
right,
and what you want. Now, if this guy's the raving lunatic that he's being portrayed, he probably isn't thinking that far along.
But if you were somebody who normally goes and watch the Maple Leafs game outside at that, what is it, the Gardens there?
The Plaza. Yeah.
Would you do that tonight?
Yeah, I would.
You'd go right back?
I would. You know why I would? The same reason why I felt okay to fly after 9/11.
Yeah.
I felt I'm never going to be more secure in a plane than I am right now. I would think that there would be so much security surrounding the perimeter tonight if they do that outside the airport.
Well, and I'll admit, I mean, the year after the marathon bombings, I went down there. I'm like, I'm going down there. I'm going to go right down there. I thought it was a great day for everybody to be out there, and you know, went down right by the finish line. But did I feel great about it? Like, was I a little on edge? I think everybody kind
of
was.
Wasn't also part of you saying, screw them?
It was.
You know what?
Yes, it was.
I'm going to show them that I'm not going to live my life in fear.
I know, but the risk reward on something like that, you know, you're waiting like, hey, I'm here and screw them. But then what if that strikes again?
But you know what? This shows it can happen anywhere.
Anywhere. That's my point. Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Right.
Middle of the day, 1:30 in the afternoon.
In Toronto, Canada.
Right.
Right.
You know, on some street that's not, you know, their version of Boylston Street right downtown.
Well, there was a stretch of these attacks all in Europe, Dale. And remember, there was like one after another.
There was Nice,
and
there was London, there was Barcelona.
And I was like, man, like, these are all places I would love to go, and I don't know if I will. And that's bad. Like, I should go wherever I want to go, but those places, I'm like, that seems more dangerous now. That seems
it's
more
not,
dangerous
it's
than
not,
it would have been.
It's not more dangerous. And you talk to people in London who live there. They just say it's everyday part of their life. That's just how they live. They don't think about it.
Yeah.
They know it's possible, but they don't really think about it.
The Toronto police have put out an advisory for tonight for the game. They've said that the Rogers Centre, Air Canada Centre area, roads will be closed for sporting events. York Street closed. No eastbound traffic, yada, yada, yada. Pedestrian and car traffic expected to be heavy. But according to the Toronto Police, they will close down the roads in the area of Rogers Centre and the Air Canada Centre down there tonight. So the answer to our question is they're going to let those folk gather outside the Air Canada Centre tonight.
Good. I'm glad. Good. Don't let them win. Don't let the bastards win.
And I could see Canadian people saying, you know what? Screw you. We're going to the hockey game tonight. And,
good for them.
Greg, you played hurt today, and we appreciate it, but we're going to get you the heck out of here.
You did.
And,
get some more tea.
He's swimming in tea.
Tea's not working.
It's all gone.
What's the opposite of tea? Have some of that.
Cold water? I don't think that's going to work.
No, yeah, maybe
Oh,
not.
I'm sorry. What?
Vodka?
Vodka, they do say, for like a sore throat.
Do they?
Boom. Yeah, shot of vodka. Yeah.
Can I try this?
Yes.
Can I be a spokesman for Bigelow Tea? I've drank enough of it today.
All right, Francona. I don't know about that.
It is also obviously a hockey and makeup night, so Volani's going to come in here and join.
What are you laughing?
Why do you wear your makeup now, though, Dale?
Pardon me?
Why do you wear your makeup now?
Just, you know,
why
I feel pretty.
He wants it from hair for the day.
It's really kind of the part. Weird.
Takes years off my age. So Volani's going to come in here with Keith. They've got a whole hour to go. 617-779-7937. Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.